And anyway, we're in this turning dogfight, and I got this full fuselage tank. I got full power, and I'm pushing forward on the stick almost as hard as I can to keep it from stalling, to control it in this tight turn. And I'm not doing too good. And the ME-109 is coming around, and we're there. And the thought went to me, I sure don't want to go through those bombers, but if I break away, then, you know, the other guy is going to be on your tail. And I'm sure the same thoughts were going through this guy's mind. So to my big relief, all of a sudden, he rolls over and dives. So, you know, that put me right on his tail. And it was a bright, bright, clear day, just not a cloud in the sky. And it was in the spring. Everything was so green, you just couldn't believe it. And we go screaming down. There was four of them total, four of us. And I follow in this one guy. He gets out. He had a good head start. And he pulled out down pretty low. And he reverses his turn. Now he's coming back at me. And I'll tell you what, an exciting moment is a head-on pass. Don't do that unless you absolutely have to. So he's coming, he's turning, and I'm coming down at him. And I said, oh, my God, if I don't get on that guy and fire, he's going to be able to shoot at me at about, you know, another 2 or 3 degrees of turn. So I quickly got a sight picture and fired and shot by him. My wingman came behind, and he said that the propeller came off, the engine cowlings came off, and I just hit him all around the front end of the airplane. And he pulled up like this and just bailed out immediately and went down. Well, we shot 2 out of the 4 down. Now, how do you get a quarter of a kill? While we're in this dogfight, I saw in my peripheral vision what ended up being a shadow, actually. I saw something dark moving, and I registered to me, but I'm really in the, you know, pretty busy, so it didn't get to check it out. I got my flight together, and I says, hey, did you guys ever see anything here? Come on, get up here in formation. We're going to go after something. And nobody saw anything, so I think, okay, we're going to head west. And we were down about 2,000 feet, and I'm going along, flew about 15 minutes, no, not that long, and all of a sudden I see this black spot again. Remember I said it was a very bright, clear day, and it was dark green? Well, then I get up there, and here it is. It's a poor old German Heinkel, obsolete Battle of Britain Heinkel 111, trying to sneak along the ground. And he's in that dark camo. And I'll tell you what, if it had been a hazy day, I never would have seen him. But it was so bright, the shadow showed up where he didn't show up. And I looked and looked, and there he is. And then I looked around. Not an airplane in the sky. I got 4 Mustangs. You know, what a sitting duck. And then I thought about my wingman. You know, number 2 and number 4, those poor guys don't get to shoot too much, especially when they flew with me. And so I said, and these guys flew with me, and they knew what I knew when I say something, they understood exactly what's going to happen. So I said, okay, get into practice gunnery formation. And when you practice gunnery, you got somebody towing a target here, and you get into an echelon left, and the leader goes in and fires at the target in a left-hand pursuit curve, slides out, goes over on the other side, and number 2 comes in, fires, slides out, gets on his right wing in the right echelon, and then once all 4 have gone through the target, then you come back and make a right-hand pursuit curve. That's how you get your practice. So they knew when I said practice gunnery formation, they knew right now they're going to get to shoot. And so I went in on the first, we got an engine smoking. We got one burning, one smoking. He had a gunner in the back. And he was silenced. And so by the time I made my second pass and I'm up here, I scored every one of my flight members as making hits on this airplane. One of the guys, number four, was so eager, he fired all of his 2,000 rounds in two passes. And you can imagine what those, they were going out like this. He burned the barrels out, of course. See, what you had, you only had 30 seconds worth of fire, so you fired a short burst, you know, just a few seconds. Well, he wasn't going to, he was going to take this opportunity and fire. And he emptied his airplane on two passes. I couldn't believe it. So the guy's hit badly, obviously, and so I see he's going over here, and then pretty soon here's a great big clearing up there. He comes up and bellies into that thing, and he's sliding along, and I don't know, he hit a stump or a rock or something. It broke the left wing, and it spun around. The wing stayed there, and he spun around, and it was burning pretty bad. Two guys got out of the airplane, got out somehow or other, and one of them was out here, you know, kind of in front, kind of looking at us. We looked like a bunch of hornets up there, I'm sure, buzzing around. And there was no cover whatsoever, and the other guy was running like crazy, just going as fast as he could. I looked. It was a mile before there was any cover, no nothing. What the heck is this guy? I said, let's give him a thrill. So we pulled down and made a pass at him really low, like we're going to strafe him, and pulled up and did a big roll and then got the flight together and went home. That's how you get a quarter of a kill.
Bud.
Can I ask you one question, Bud?
Okay.
So, many folks who have been here before, we've mentioned two or three times Gunther Rall. Who was the great German ace, I think the third leading victories in aerial combat history, and a wonderful guy. And pick up Gunther Rall's book, and the foreword is written by none other than Colonel Bud Anderson.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had one presentation earlier in the week, My Enemy, My Friend, and just a little bit about your relationship with Gunther and what you fighter pilots seem to have in common.
Yeah, okay. Well, to be absolutely honest, I wouldn't have walked across the street to meet a German fighter pilot well after World War II. And believe it or not, I still have some prejudice. I will not buy a Japanese car or a German car. I mean, I'm just telling you the facts. And many years after World War II, I got to meet General Rall at functions like this, somewhat like this. And finally, you know, and then we got stuck one place where we had to spend the weekend together, the two of us, on this farm down in Alabama. Nothing to do, so we went out in a boat and fished we got to talking, and then we're talking like he says to me. He says, you know, we're going over there in the Battle of Britain, and we're crossing there, and the contrails are going up, and I said, I've got this guy behind me. He says, oh, my engine's vibrating. I've got a bad oxygen system. I got this wrong, that wrong. I got to go back. He says, you have any of those kind of guys in your outfit? I said, yeah, Gunther, we had a few, and so then when I could talk to him about Hitler, you know, what did he think about Hitler? Personal stuff. And I found out that his wife was a doctor, and she was helping Jews escape Germany. Pretty dangerous occupation in those days. And he was being investigated by it, and it all blew over because he was a national hero already. But anyway, I got to know him and figure that, you know, he's just he's a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a warrior like I was a warrior. You fight for your country. You don't worry about the politics and things like that. You do what you're told. You got a code. And he had some really funny one-liners, and one of them I'll quote to you. They often say, questions he gets is, how come the Germans got so many victories? You know, the guy, these guys with 100-plus victories. And he always said, well, he says, we fought over there from 1937 or whenever the heck it was, 1939 in Spain, and went over and said, we didn't have any R&Rs. We fought right there. And the battle was, you know, the battle was over our homeland. And he said, if you... if you want to be a successful fighter pilot and get a lot of kills, you got to have targets. And he said, every time we took off, we were in a target-rich environment. They had just so many targets that, you know, the opportunities was there. And then he finishes it with this statement. He said, the German pilots had a choice. You either got an Iron Cross or a Wooden Cross. I thought that was pretty appropriate.
But if you would you take a break? And let me recognize all the veterans in the audience, please. All the veterans in the audience, would you stand, please?
Good. All right.
We're gonna close up here in a minute, but I'm going to ask Bud to tell one more story here in a minute, and that's how his son got his name. But I want to thank John Tennyson today for coming down and helping out, and I really appreciate that, John.
Okay.
This is a great story. It's a patriotic story, and every time he tells it, he gets a little emotional, and so do I. But
oh, I don't get emotional. I wear sunglasses, though.